Good morning. It is so great to see you all back here together in this setting. You know what it feels like to me this morning? Do you know how, like, you go away on an extended trip and then you get back home and you say, I can't wait to get back in my own bed again? Has a little bit of that feel this morning. This morning, I feel like the Lord has given me a word, something to share with you that I believe will help us greatly. I'm calling what I want to share with you this morning, turning disappointments into appointments with God. All of us here this morning have either dealt with disappointment at some point in time, or you are currently dealing with it right now. By definition, disappointment means the failure to fulfill the hopes or expectations of. Disappointment is a part of being human, and it comes in all shapes and sizes. For example, just the other day, my wife and I had the occasion to spend some time with another couple, and we decided to have breakfast together at a particular restaurant. And my wife, I know she was very much looking forward to going to this particular place. And we get there, and one of the items on the menu was cinnamon pancakes with a icing on the top, strudeled with icing. So we ordered our meals, and as we sat there and our meals arrived, she took one bite into the first bit of pancake there, and I could tell, I've been around her for 40 years now, I could tell there was some disappointment. In fact, she was so disappointed in the moment, the waitress came over and she said, I'm a little concerned, my pancakes, they taste like gasoline. So she says to me, you try it. Right? That's how that works, right? I think there's something wrong. You try it and see what you think. So as it turned out, the plate was here. She was eating over here. I took a bite from this side over here, and it tasted fine to me. And so, but once you get that in your head, it's stuck. And there was a moment of disappointment. Something that you had looked forward to, something you had hoped for and expected. Now, you may say what is that? That's not a great example of it. How many of you have ever gone to a particular event? Maybe not a restaurant, but maybe an event, something you were looking forward to, a concert, a reunion, something of that nature. And you get there and somehow it just didn't quite hit the mark for you, right? Didn't hit the mark. How many of you have ever had an experience where you were hoping a particular person or individual would measure up to your expectations, and somehow they didn't come through the way you had expected or hoped? He was saying that for the rest of us, okay? Disappointment can come in all shapes and sizes. You can even be disappointed with yourself. Disappointment is the gap. It's the gap between what you expected and what you experienced. It's the gap between what you hoped for and what actually happened. Now, I say the downward gap because the opposite can also hold true. You can go into situations, you can be dealing with people sometimes, and your expectations are here, and somehow they came in, or the event was here. We call that gap by different names. We say it was awesome. We say it was great. I've even heard people use the word fabulous, because somehow where we thought it was going to be, it rose to even a greater level. Now, here is what I want to talk to you about this morning. Having a working understanding of disappointment. What I want to suggest to us this morning is that mishandled disappointment can have very negative effects on our lives. Mishandled disappointment. Disappointment can lead to apathy and indifference. You kind of co-opt an attitude where you just say, whatever. You never now have any healthy expectations. You just kind of assume everything is going to fall short. Or another effect that it can have on our lives is rather than becoming disengaged with people and things in life, you become overly critical and cynical of everything that takes place in life. Have I got the right crew this morning? Okay. Now, regardless of which direction you head with your disappointment, when we mishandle disappointment, the biggest tragedy in all of that is we become disconnected. Let me explain to you what I mean. We disconnect from whatever the perceived source of disappointment is. For example, it may be a while before we go back and try that restaurant again. Right? You have a bad experience, you just say, well, I won't go there again, right? Or you go to an event of some sort, and it isn't what you thought it was going to be, and you just say, I'll never do that again, right? Years ago, when we first moved to Arcade, My dad particularly, but my mom and dad in general were kind of excited. My dad said, "You're close to where the Buffalo Bills play." So he said, "As soon as possible," he said, "I'd like to get some tickets. I'll buy them. We're all going to a Bills game." Yeah, a good dad. So we made the arrangements, and it happened to be a Monday night football game. Monday night football game. And this was back in the time period, mid-late 80s, where the Bills weren't very good, right? So people were there more for the party than they were the play on the field, right? So we get there. I knew nothing about, I had been to a game or two over the years, but I knew nothing about Monday night games, right? And then I found out that that the party got started early in the day. And by the time we got there and got to our seats, there was a lot of carousing going on, right? And there was a particular couple guys that sat right behind us that were very flavorful in their language, right? So at one point, my dad had had enough, and he turned around to the two gentlemen and said, "There's a couple of ladies here. Would you please watch your language?" Nothing. They got nothing. He got nothing, right? They didn't stop. As the game was, it was well out of hand by this time, and it wasn't in our favor, someone decided to blow up a plastic sex doll. And they're beating it around the stadium, right? You know where it lands. It lands in my mom's lap. Boom, there it is. My dad grabs it and pops it. Popped it. We're done. And he turned to me and said, "Come on, we're leaving." It's the last time my mom and dad have ever been to a Bills game. There was some disappointment. Their expectation was here, and that landed somewhere down here. So again, I understand this morning that disappointment is human. I understand it's one thing for us to not go back to a particular restaurant or go to a particular event again. But what if your disappointment is with God? Amen. Mishandling your disappointment with God is catastrophic. You can navigate life if you never go to a particular restaurant again. You could navigate life if you never go to a Bills game again. If you disconnect from them, you can even navigate life if you become disappointed in a people group or in a person and find a way to disconnect with them. But here's the problem. If your disappointment is with God and you disconnect for Him, that is catastrophic. Catastrophic. The reason it's catastrophic is the very one who could minister to you in your disappointment you have now disconnected from. That's a problem. That's going to be a problem. If you've lived long enough, listen, I'm just being real here this morning. If you lived long enough, you will have discovered that God does not always do what you think He should do. Your will and God's will sometimes is not the same thing. His way and our way, my way, doesn't look the same. And many times what happens when that comes to fruition is my expectation was here and God came in down here someplace. I could go to countless places in Scripture this morning to example for you different people within the Bible who had to deal with disappointment. But I want us to look at a particular situation. It's in Matthew chapter 11. So if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn there now. I don't have it for you on the screen. I'm going to be reading it to you, but what we're going to be looking at here is a passage about John the Baptist. John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a man anointed by God to prepare the atmosphere and introduce the Son of God to us as mankind. When we catch up to his story here in Matthew chapter 11, we are told that John is in prison. He's not in prison for doing anything unlawful or wrong, but because he had confronted Herod about his improper marriage with Herodias, his brother's wife. And it was, if you go back and you read the full context of this, you'll find out that she got offended by what John said and had Herod put John in prison. Now I'd like to read to you the particular verses 2 through 6 that I want us to look at here this morning. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." And verse 6 says, "Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." Now, the first thing I want to draw to your attention is that John was disappointed. Now, you might ask, well, how in the world did you get that from what I just read to you? I believe John was disappointed because of the question that he sent to Jesus. Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? Now, you might say, well, what's wrong with that question? If anyone should have known the answer to that question, it should have been John. John was the initial one to get the download from heaven about who Jesus Christ really was. I want to read it to you in John's own words. These are John the Baptist's words about Jesus. Then John gave this testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this Jesus before you is the Son of God." This is John the Baptist now. Now, he's sending a message to Jesus. Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? The question becomes, how is it that John was once so convinced and so convicted that Jesus was the Messiah that he now seems to be disconnecting and questioning that conviction? I think it's because he was disappointed. I think he was disappointed for a couple of reasons that are mentioned right here in verse 2. The first thing I notice is that it says John heard what Jesus was doing. Now, we don't know exactly what others were telling John about the activities of Christ. And we don't know whether what they said was spot on or not. We don't know that. But whatever John was hearing about what Jesus was doing didn't somehow come in at the expectation that John had. That's why he asked the question. Are you the one we were expecting, or should we look for someone else? The other reason is right there also in that verse. It says, while in prison. It is believed that at this point, John has now been in prison for a year, give or take a month or two. John has been, since the incident took place, to the time that he's sending his messengers to Jesus, about a year has elapsed. He's had plenty of time to think. Sweetheart, would you get me a glass of water, please? Thank you. You have to know that John did not think things were going to unfold like this. Every devout Jewish person believed that when the Messiah / deliverer came, that he would right the ship. That rather than them being oppressed, he would now bring justice to the oppressors. And in John's situation, that hadn't happened. So you have to think that John is quite likely, most assuredly, disappointed with how things have unfolded. If you read through Scripture, you will discover that John is not the only one to ever be disappointed in God. I find great comfort when I read the Psalms, because a lot of times when David writes in the Psalms, he's writing out of his expectations were here and God came in somewhere down here. Why is a common question in Psalms. Why, God? Why we thought, and then this, you, we thought this, and you did that. Why? You can read the book of Job, and you can hear almost on every page the disappointment in Job's heart. Just read it. It's all there. We know that Jonah was disappointed in God. We know that Naomi, in the book of Ruth, was disappointed. In fact, Naomi was so disappointed with God, she asked for her name to be changed. Here it is, right here. Don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant. Call me Mara, which means bitter. Because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. All kinds of people have dealt with disappointment. You may be saying right now, Pastor Jeff, I'm disappointed with this message. I mean, I came here looking to be encouraged this morning, and all you've been doing is talking about disappointment. Hang in there. Don't disconnect. John could have let his disappointment lead to a complete disconnect from the one that he once testified about. How often have we seen that happen? Probably my greatest heartache in all the years of ministry have been watching people who were once on fire for Jesus end up in some backwater someplace. And I would suggest to you this morning that 9 times out of 10, that happens because of mishandled disappointment in their lives. Disappointment with people, disappointment with situations, and tragically, many times, disappointment with God. The second thing I'd like to point out to you about these few verses is that John handled his disappointment in the way we should. He took his disappointment to Jesus. He took his disappointment to Jesus. Now, John, he couldn't get there himself, but he did the next best thing. He sent some couriers with his disappointment to speak to Jesus. The enemy of our souls wants us to pull away. God, on the other hand, likes it when we press in. Because when we press in and we bring our unmet expectations to Him, it most often will lead to a divine appointment. Psalm 62:8 says, "Trust in the Lord at all times." Can you say that with me? All times. O people, pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Pouring out our hearts means that we bring everything that is in us to Him. The good, the bad, and the ugly. The hurts, hang-ups, how do you say it? You bring it all. Hurts, habits, hang-ups, all of it. You bring all your disappointments and you pour them out to God. We bring our happy heart to God. We bring our hurting heart to God. We bring our dancing heart to God. We bring our disappointed heart to God. We make an appointment to press in and get with God so that God can give us a word. Did you know that the Apostle Paul was disappointed with God? We are told in Scripture that Paul had an issue that he didn't like. He didn't like it. And by his own account, he said, "I went to God 3 times about this issue." Now, why do you go to somebody 3 times about something? Because you weren't happy with the outcome of the first 2 times. Isn't that right? You were disappointed. You went pleading the first time and you walked away. And it's interesting because in the New Living Translation, it says every time he went, God said the same thing. So Paul went there thinking, "God, I need deliverance from whatever this is." Whatever it was is speculated what it is. But we don't need to know what it is because the point is the same. Paul had something that he wasn't happy about. He went to God with that, and God said to him on every occasion, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness." That was a word he took. Paul poured out his heart. He pressed into God. And God gave him a word. And if you read the writings of Paul, you will hear that bleed out over and over and over again. The grace of God. The grace of God. The grace of God. The grace of God. The grace. Why do you think that's his theme song? Because it was the word God put in his heart. So rather than disconnecting because God didn't come through in a way he expected, Paul pressed in, and in pressing in, he got God's heart. Here in Matthew chapter 11, John pours out his heart to Jesus. And in the end, John, like Paul, ends up getting a word from Jesus. Jesus sends a word back to him. Now, I'd like to submit to you this morning that this word that Jesus gives John is both, it has a component of logos word to it, but it also has a component of rhema word to us. Now, let me just talk to us about that for just a second. Logos, most often, is in the, when those are two different Greek words for word, all right? Logos most often refers to the written, settled word of God. Rhema is a word for word that has to do with a specific word that God might speak to me. All right? You got it? It could be a word from the word, but it's meant to address my need in that moment specifically. Am I making sense? Okay. So when Jesus gives to John his response, it is a mixture of logos and rhema. Let's see what he said to John. He said to the couriers that John had sent, Jesus now says, go back and tell John. Tell John what? He said, first of all, I want you to tell him the blind are receiving sight, the lame are walking, the lepers are being cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Now, what did Jesus just do? Jesus, in a sentence, took all of the prophetic miracles that had been spoken in Isaiah about the Messiah to come. He took all of those and in one fell swoop said, tell John the things that the Messiah was supposed to do, I am doing. The Logos word, the written word of God, is being fulfilled. The blind are seeing. The deaf are hearing, the lepers are being cured, dead people are coming back to life, and the good news is being preached. Isaiah, I wrote it down. If you want to go back and check these, Isaiah 35, chapter 35, and Isaiah 61. There were like five, six, somewhere in that neighborhood, of these messianic miracles that the Messiah was to perform. Jesus tells John, listen, you can trust me. You can trust me because I'm fulfilling the word. Are you there? You can trust me. I am who you thought I am, was, because I'm doing what was said of me. Now, but then John also, I'm sorry, Jesus gives John what I believe is a rhema word for John, and I got to be honest, I feel like a rhema word for us. He tells him, add to that, add to the blind seeing and the lame walking, so forth and so on. He says, add to that, tell John that blessed is the man who does not fall away because of me. Jesus understood this disconnection problem. He understood that disappointment most often leads to disconnecting, falling away. The literal way that this says it in the Greek, I think I have it for you. Is it there? 15 slides. Here it is, right here. Blessed is the person who does not take offense at me. This is a word now from Jesus back to John. Now, I want to break this down in closing this morning. I would suggest to you that this is another beatitude because of the way that it's structured. You'll remember when we were doing Upside Down Kingdom, we were looking at the various Beatitudes in Matthew's Gospel. We're still in Matthew's Gospel. And here Jesus is giving to John the right disposition of heart for him to have in this moment. It's a word. It's a word from God to John about where his heart is at. Blessed is the person who does not take offense at me. John, listen. John had become offended. You don't tell somebody not to take an offense unless they've been offended. So what does that mean? We know the word blessed means because we looked at it extensively during our time during that series. We know that the word blessed here means to be happy is one way you could put it. It's a word makarios. And I said to you a number of weeks ago that this word means an internal sense of well-being that does not necessitate something favorable coming your way. It's a sense of feeling well and whole because you know God's face is turned towards you. I don't have to have something good happen in order to feel blessed. I know that God's face is turned towards me. So we know that. But the thing, the word, the phrase that would have leaped off of the pages, if you will, when John heard it, was this word offense. Some translations use that word offense. The NIV says fall away. Others use the word stumble. It comes from a Greek word pronounced scandalazo. Scandalazo. We get our word scandal from it. And it literally means to put a stumbling block or impediment in the way upon which another may trip and fall. Metaphorically, it means to offend or to cause a person to begin to distrust and desert the one whom he ought to trust. Jesus is giving a word to John personally about not allowing his unmet expectation to become a cause for distrusting Jesus. Instead of tripping over, being offended by, or being disappointed in things, the way things have unfolded, Jesus is saying to John, I can tell you the things that were supposed to happen at my coming are happening, and you, John, have to just simply trust me. Just because, listen to me this morning, just because we don't totally understand what God is up to doesn't mean we shouldn't trust Him. Just because He's not doing things the way that I think they should unfold does not serve as a good means for not trusting Him. You may be here this morning and you're going through something, some personal disappointment in your life right now. I know that culturally speaking, it feels like people are living in disappointment right now. It is a time for us to be reminded that Jesus is who He really said He was. And it is a time for you and I to trust Him regardless of whether our expectations are totally being met or not. I want to close with this before I pray. Jesus went on to say more. He used this opportunity. That's all He gave to John. He says, here, I got a word for you. Don't be offended at me. Don't trip over the fact that I'm not coming through the way that you think that I should. But then for those who were in the same locale that Jesus was, Jesus used this as a teachable moment. And he said, folks, I want to just talk to you for a second. You can read it there. It's in the following verses. And the first question, he's given them a lesson about unrealistic expectations. And the first thing he says, when you all went out to see John in the desert, what did you expect to see? That's what he says. I'm paraphrasing now, obviously. He says, did you think you were going out there to see a guy dressed in rags? Did you think you were going out there to see a guy that talked about fasting and not eating and the stuff he did eat was weird? Did you go out there thinking, what'd you go out there expecting? Well, whatever they went out there expecting, John didn't measure up to their expectations. In fact, some were even saying, we think he's demon-possessed. Now, these are the people that went out to see John. John didn't measure up to their expectations. Then Jesus says, again, I'm paraphrasing, what did you expect to see when I came? I came eating and drinking. I came mingling with people. I came hanging out with people. And somehow, I haven't measured up to your expectations either. What were you expecting? You see, I think Jesus was talking to a generation. In fact, he says it straight out. You're a generation that doesn't know what you want. You're a generation that lives disappointed with everything. I believe we're living in a time that if Jesus Christ came down here himself, we'd find something wrong with him. We would. The general populace would find something wrong. Because you're damned if you do and damned if you don't right now. Jesus doesn't want us living with disappointment. He wants us living with expectation, and when our expectations aren't met the way we think, he wants us to press in to him so that we can get the word. Bucky, I know, I hear you saying amen. And I know a few years ago, you went through some very disappointing expectations, unfulfilled thing. And there was a period of time in Bucky's life where it's like, where is this thing going? And he pressed into God and got a word from God. And that word has carried you. See, what a lot of people do, what a lot of us do, is we get disappointed about something and we figure out, what can I do to get as far away from that disappointment as possible? We move. We leave. We go do this. I don't want to have to deal with that. God says, I need you to deal with it, but the way you need to deal with it is to press into me. Because the very one who can meet us in that disappointment and give us a word to live on, bread to survive on, is the very one we should not disconnect ourselves from. I'm going to invite you to stand with me. It's It's amazing how the more things change, the more things stay the same. Whether you're dealing with personal disappointment in your life right now or cultural disappointment, I wonder this morning if you would be honest enough, not with me, I keep my eyes closed, don't matter to me, but you'd be honest enough with God to just extend your hands towards Him. Lord, this morning, for those of us who wrestle with not having our hopes and our expectations fulfilled in the way that we would want. And Lord, sometimes if we were all honest with one another, at the very root of some of that, Lord, is our frustration with You. Lord, I don't want anyone to leave here stumbling and offended at You this morning. So, Father, that we just begin right now. Lord Jesus, forgive us for taking offense at You. Forgive us. Forgive me. That gets the door open. But Lord, I pray that each of us, personally and individually, would make the time to press in to You. And Holy Spirit, I believe that You'll not only give us Logos Word to remind us of some things, but You will give us personally and individually a Rhema word that will deal with our particular angst. Teach us to press into You. It's not right for us to disconnect. It's not right for us to disconnect from others, and it's not right for us to disconnect from You. Teach us to press in. And I know, Lord, that because we sang about it over and over and over again this morning, Lord, You are good. Lord, You are good. Somebody said earlier this morning, You can't be anything but that because that is who You are. You are good. And because Your will isn't measuring up with way, my will, my understanding, You are still good. You are still good. And I'm asking that as we leave here today and we go from this place, that You would deliver us, that we would not be known as a disappointed people. With our head in our hands, wanting our names changed, I pray that we would be people who are known by our appointments with You. That we've gotten a word from You to live on, some bread directly from heaven to live on. Go with us as we go from this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Turning our disappointments into appointments with God. That is your mission this week. When you get frustrated with the outcomes of things, press into God. There should be a lot of pressing going on. Should be a lot of pressing. God bless you as you go. Have a wonderful week in Him.